Blog Talk Radio.
Rock them curls, and this is for all my girls who
rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks, rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks, rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks, rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks.
You're more than my best friend. We can talk about anything to the end. Sometimes we don't know where to begin. Around the world, baby girl, like a whirlwind. Make her say wow, like we going downtown. After when she finna come, she said now, now. Like a superhero, I give her the pow, pow. And I'ma put it on my baby till we pass out. While I rock your locks,
rock, rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, rock, your locks. Rock, rock your locks. Baby, you so high, baby, you so high. Girl, you so high. Girl, you so high. Rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks, 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 rock your locks, rock. Rock your locks, locks, rock your locks, rock, 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 rock your locks, locks.
Where you from? Which state are you living in? Are you from the Caribbean? You know you shine like your dreadlocks. Yeah, you look like a million bucks. Can you please tell me who done your dreadlocks? I need to hurry up and make an appointment so I can be blessed, anointed, yes.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzzed driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzzed driving, because buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them, like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within?
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to... Twinsies!
I kinda love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service...
Hi, you're tuned in with Yanni Red on Dreadful Thoughts 101 Talk Radio. Tonight's show, we want to know, who are you voting for? Are you want to dump the Trump or kill the Hill? Are you Republican or are you Democrat? We want to hear some of your thoughts. We want to talk about some of these funny memes that are out here circulating. I want to hear from you guys. My guest tonight is... I have a special guest coming later, but my first special guest is Karima Ali. She is an executive producer of this show and several other shows on this network. And we want to talk with her also about the vote. So, hey, Karima, can you introduce yourself? Having some technical difficulties, just a second. So I want to talk about what's going on with the voting. One issue that I have is that we have the dreadlock subject on is coming up.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. This is me.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You know
I'm
what?
So
me
sorry.
Too. In the beginning, I said the whole thing twice. But yeah, I wanted to know, who are you voting for? Why you're voting for who you chose? And my question also is, a lot of people, they're just voting Democratic. They're not necessarily voting because they like Hillary, but they just want to stay Democratic. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, I think that after yesterday, it's quite obvious that I'm going to vote for Trump because he's the most qualified candidate out there.
Wow. Stop it. Really? But what makes you think so?
Well, I mean, he's bold. I mean, he's bold and he's... You know, he doesn't know anything, and he's just like,
wow.
You know, it doesn't take much to rule the world. I mean, it doesn't take much at all. I mean,
wow.
You know, he doesn't need to know anything about war or, you know, any of that. He's a celebrity. And as a celebrity, he can do anything.
Wow.
So
you feel that Trump is okay to represent your views as a black woman?
It has nothing to do with me being black. I have dual citizenship. I'm going to vote and then fly back to France.
Oh.
I'm going to let y'all have it. I thought we were going to open the show with a joke.
So let me get in this.
I'm just kidding. Let me just do that before my mother just kind of rush up here and beat me to death with a stone. Just take the Bible seriously. No.
Yes, because I'm still unable to swallow.
I can't even tell it, man. That was. I almost believed myself for a minute. Everybody got quiet. Is she smoking? No, not.
There are people voting for Trump, though. He has a lot of supporters, and I mean honestly. It sounds far-fetched to be saying that you're going to vote for Trump, but in his defense, I can say that all of our other, like Hillary, we've dealt with the Clinton administration, and so we kind of know what's going on with that. They're, you know, the changes that she may bring in may be very similar to what Bill did, but with Trump, we just have no idea what would happen. So, you know, that may be fun, but I think that his celebrity allows him a fair shot at the presidency.
I think it's clear when President Obama was on the news today down in Florida, he sounded like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King there for a minute. He was pleading for the lives of all the children of America and the around the world. He probably got so many calls last night from China and every place else saying, you better do something quick.
Wow.
I can't believe it.
I know most people, they just want Obama to stay in office.
No.
Don't go out of office, but we can't have that.
<Mm-mm>.
What are your thoughts?
Okay.
Yanni, you can hear me?
Yes, very much so. Who's speaking?
Okay, this is Shakir Porty Drink.
Oh, awesome. Hey, Shakir.
How you doing?
All right, let everybody know where you calling in from.
Calling in from New Jersey, you know, Brick City, you know.
Yeah, the hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah, let the people know what you're thinking.
I'm about to drop some heavy stuff on. See, people don't do their research on their candidates.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton is for microchipping our children in her administration. She's in for GMOs in our food. She's into World War III. We got to do our research. Donald Trump, he has a white supremacist following. So we basically hit either way we vote. And most of the people, they're older people that's for Hillary Clinton because they don't care. Their kids not going to war. They don't care. They live their lives. We have the worst candidates ever. And, you know, I love Obama for his color, but he didn't do anything for us as black people.
Right.
Nothing at all. Every time something happened to like a black shooting or something, he's silent. But when the gay public and when the transgender or whatever happened, he spoke up for it. He never said nothing about the shooting. And nobody's going to talk up for us. The next administration is not going to talk up because Hillary already, when the black girl went up there with her sign and people say something about black lives matter or whatever, Hillary always pushes to the back. She don't have our back.
Right.
We coming into the worst, candidates ever.
I think as black people, too, we have to – everybody always talks about the black vote. But before the vote, the black agenda is silent almost. You know what I mean? It's the fact that if we're not addressing the fact that we have an agenda and we're allowing, our agenda to be put at the back, then it gets to the point where everybody's like, well, go vote. And so you're like, vote for who? There's nobody – that is, and I mean black either. There's nobody that's addressing our agenda.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it goes deeper than that because votes don't really count. It's like a big play. It's a big pageantry. They put Trump in there to make Hillary look better. Why do you
think
he's saying the things that he said? No candidate in history ever said the things that Trump said and got away with it.
Right.
He's making Hillary look like she's the best candidate ever.
Right.
Hillary, she has so much stuff. They stealing gold from Haiti. They stealing from all these different funds, and she's backed by all these different rich people. So who you think going to benefit from Hillary being in office?
Right. Well, it's definitely all elections are geared towards the rich because they are the ones who, you know, who have the most influence over what's going on in the United States. So, and that's my thing, just as poor people, we have to find a way to build our own agenda so that our votes actually, so that we can feel like our votes actually count. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it's about feeling because when they tell you that they have an electoral college,
right?
That means like it's more of a popular, it's a who's more popular to the people. Our votes don't really matter. It's like if that state has a higher popularity for that candidate, that's the votes that go in. No matter how many votes went in, people got to really do their research because they. Candidates are not elected, they selected. They're owned
right.
by the Rothschilds.
Right.
Let's talk about the
Electoral College, right?
Exactly.
So, basically, they are the ones who decide the final vote on who gets the presidency. Yeah, so, now, the other thing is when we're deciding, because it's like either way, there's really no great candidate for black people. What about some of the Democratic views or the issues that are coming up? One in particular that affects my following is the federal court deciding that it's okay to discriminate against dreadlocks in the workplace. So, you know, with that being said, that we don't want to get Republicans in because they're going to enforce that even more. You know, how do you feel about that? You know,
I think that's going to be either one because you got to look at who the candidates are. Why
would
you
saying that either way they're going to enforce that dreadlocks in the workplace?
Yeah, it's going to be like, y'all have no rights. Y'all got to listen to us. And when it comes to corporations, it's about who has the most money.
Right.
And corporations, you know, that's how I want our people to dress. That's how they're grooming our kids. Our kids, they dress like, you know, they're going to a factory or whatever. You see what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right.
The uniforms
well,
and all that. But then you go to white people high schools, they wear regular clothes. They don't wear uniforms.
Oh, wow. Is that true?
You know what I'm saying?
Is that actually true or is that something that you... You know what I mean?
No,
like,
it's true. You go to a white school, you go to a high school or whatever, it's no uniforms. My son,
okay.
He go to school, he got to wear uniforms and stuff. It's a good thing, but it's a bad thing in the same tone because the same people that make the uniforms, they also make prison uniforms. What's that telling you?
Well, I mean, I like uniforms. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah,
I like the uniforms because it's easy. And, you know, when a lot of kids are growing up in poor neighborhoods, the uniforms kind of blend everybody together. So I think they have a good purpose.
And it don't because, you know, kids are going to be kids. If they can't pick on your uniform, they're going to pick on your hairstyle. Then they're going to pick on
your
shoes,
right.
They pick on anything. So kids going to be kids. It's about how you raise a child. And, you know, and I noticed with my son's curriculum how you know, the government is changing the curriculum, and this has to do with the presidencies and the Congress, how they change the curriculum to, you know, to gear them toward being workers and not business people. You see what I'm saying?
Well, we have, you know, we ask people, the thing about it, too, is that, you know, just because there is no representation for us in the media or in, you know, in elections or things like that, we still have to instill in our own children the real values that they have. And I just feel like people put so much emphasis on school and so much emphasis on, you know, working. Like, you know, I'm on Facebook all the time, and I see somebody say they started a business, and they might get like 2 likes, and let them say they got a third job, and it's 100 and 500 likes, 600 likes. It's like we, you know, we don't get, because honestly, I feel like, you know, the paycheck and the whip is the only difference between slavery and working now. So, you know, we have to, as black people, if we want an agenda, we first of all have to be the boss. We have to control something. You know what I mean? Or we have to sit down. You know what I mean? Because if we, you know, like when back in the days when Martin Luther King and then when they were able to do real sit-ins or, you know, sit-downs, and they said don't go to work tomorrow, people actually did not go. You know what I mean? So it's like
now.
Huh?
We use it when we draw our money out of things, it hurts business people. Black people spend $3 trillion a year. You see
ignorantly,
how much money that
though.
Is?
Spend it ignorantly. And
yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, we have to figure out what's best for us, though, as a people. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, we're here talking about who to vote for, but it's basically, it's so far past that, you know, with us, that it's almost hard to even stay on that subject as to who you're going to vote for. Because, honestly, if you're poor, it doesn't, you know, most of the time that doesn't change. And that was one of the things, too, that I was watching a show a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying that this was one of the big tricks that they did, which was because back maybe 200 years ago, they didn't really use terms that said that you were black and you were this, you were that. Everybody was just poor or rich or middle class, you know what I mean? And so what they were able to do was, you know, the rich whites would say, oh, you just like us because you're white too. You know what I mean? But they're actually still poor, the people that they're talking to. So now they feel like they're actually different from us when they're really in the same boat with us. You know what I mean? So
that's
they
how the Republicans, you like the poor white trash Republicans. They're not benefiting from being a Republican, but they still vote Republican.
Right. But, I mean, I'm just saying that I know as black people, we just have a lot of deep-seated issues, you know, that keep us from being able to band together to make one decision, because we should be able to make one decision. But because because of that, we, you know, we're just divided, and it is what it is.
Because I try to instill in my son, I said, you don't have to go to college. Have a business plan.
Right.
Your thing is to own something. You know, I own something. You own something.
Go, Karima.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So this is what's going on. You guys are talking about several things at the same time, but it all boils
down
to
the same thing. It basically deals with the same thing. What
I'm saying is that which candidate would promote or would even side with you about being a business? Trump wants slaves, right? No, Trump wants a bunch of people to work for him so he can remain rich. Now, I feel like Mrs. Clinton has a husband named Bill Clinton. Now, everybody keeps talking about Hillary, but I think we get 4 for the price of 1.
I'm getting a lot of feedback from someone's connection. Okay.
Yeah, I think we hit with either president because it's about money with them, major money.
If you're poor, though, right? If you're poor, does your situation really change?
Not at all. Neither president. None of the presidents, our situation haven't changed one bit.
I want to introduce a good friend of mine. Also,
minimum wage means what changed since we got a new president?
Right. I want to introduce a friend of mine that's on the line too, which is Kerry Hines. He's been in talk radio for the last 20 years, and he is here as a special guest of mine to talk about our voting also. Kerry?
Yes, hi, Yanni. Thank you so much for having me tonight on the show. It's been very informative. I've been listening.
Awesome. So who are you voting for? Or do you have a vote?
Yes, well, I have been kind of really following the awesomeness of Donald Trump and think he's going to just shock everybody with being a great president. I am kidding. Okay. Let me just put that out there. No, I'm 1,000% a fan of Hillary Clinton. I'm probably the biggest supporter she has.
What do you like about him?
Well, what I like about Hillary Clinton is that she is an intelligent and experienced person. And she, you know, what happens, I can pretty much size up folks in about 30 seconds. Because if they're following the negative narrative that the media has put out there and that the what seemingly Trump's number one supporter, which are Caucasian men who seem to feel threatened by Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Those are the folks that, you know, so that's pretty much the ones who've created this whole facade of everything that keep us from supporting her, and it's been really sad. And so I listened to some of you, you know, some of your points, and I think they were quite valid.
Right.
You know, but me myself, I am 1,000% voting for Secretary Clinton. I think that she is really the person who is qualified to be our next president. I don't see that her opponent is. I think he should really seek some psychiatric evaluation.
Agreed.
Wow. So let me ask this. Because Trump is so not qualified to be the president, if there was someone else running who was just as qualified as Hillary, do you feel like it may have swayed your vote, or is it that she's just the best out of the two? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. No, I don't subscribe to any of this narrative that they have concocted to to dissuade folks from voting for and supporting Secretary Clinton. I am someone who can kind of, you know, I'm in the media, so I can also kind of sift through and see. You know, I can see smoke screens and, you know, and I can see obviously what, you know, her opponent has to say. And it's just obvious. There are things, you know, that the media puts out there to kind of, you know, influence you. So, like, each network has a certain way that they lean. I know that if I'm watching NBC, they're leaning towards supporting Secretary Clinton's opponent. If I'm watching CBS, then they might be leaning a little bit more to supporting Mrs. Clinton or what have you. So it just depends. You know, you already know, and I follow every single aspect of media from local news to national news, and I can see the, you know, and news cycles and see what's out there. And, you know, I, as a publicist and a writer, this is what I also do.
So are there any negative things that you would say may be true about her, about Hillary Clinton, that we should have a red flag
up? No, not at all. And I'll tell you why. It's not that you have what I call, like, her opponent has this blind faith in his followers who just will support him throughout any old thing or whatever. and don't pay attention to anything. No, I don't look at Secretary Clinton's negatives, if you will, because what I feel that she has the talent to take us where we need to be. Anytime she's been elected to anything, she's done an extraordinary and exemplary job. I think that as like an entrepreneur as I am, I know that sometimes in business you have to do what is necessary to get the job done. I'm not saying that I am someone who supports doing things in a nefarious way. I'm just saying that she is an intelligent woman.
Right.
Very, very bright person and way more capable of being taking us where we need to be. She's probably one, in my opinion, of the smartest politicians that we have.
Okay.
And just because she is a female, to have taken all of this negative rhetoric and just people have beaten her down to the ground for 25 or so years because they feel threatened by her because
right.
she is a woman. I mean, I can't imagine them being there being an African American person anywhere who cannot identify with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
I'm sorry, or any
Let
person
me ask
of
you
color.
This. Do you think that it's really going to be ran by Bill?
Well, first of all, let me just say this: Hillary Clinton is smarter than Bill Clinton.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Bill Clinton, also. But I'm also well aware that Hillary is much smarter than than the former president. I like him very much, but I'm aware that she, you can kind of see, Secretary Clinton had already kind of, I feel like, planned this whole thing years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, so you know, nothing at all bad. I mean, what's wrong with that? That's what men we've been doing it for years. You know,
but
so
it's
she had every
big,
right to plan.
It's a big hoax. Donald Trump is doing everything that he's doing to make Hillary look better. While people are not
so
really
you're saying,
talking about,
Shakir, yeah,
like,
Shakir, you basically saying that they're working together to
yeah,
get Hillary into
they
office.
They're friends.
Right.
They you see millions of pictures of the Clintons hanging with the Trumps. And Hillary
right,
Clinton, while people are not talking about Hillary Clinton, she admires Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, and she,
mm-hmm.
Margaret Sanger is very racist and said that black people need to be exterminated. And Hillary Clinton got an award from
right,
her foundation.
Here is it? There
yes.
The whole thing is this. Hillary Clinton, you know, everybody has, you cannot live in the United States without having some degree of, you know, being affected by racial kind of talk and all of that.
But you think
so
that
I don't look at Hillary Clinton as being a racist at all.
But
I
she got the
award
and she said that's her hero, Margaret Sanger.
Well, that let me tell
Wait,
you something.
One,
let
one
me
second,
tell you
guys.
The one
we gotta,
thing, though.
We got to cut for 1 second. Got to cut for 1 second. I just want to say I love where the conversation is going. I love the fact that, Carrie, you are very informed about Hillary Clinton in a positive way, and Shakir, you're very informed about Hillary Clinton, not necessarily in a negative way, but I would like to know where some of the sources are from the information that you guys have.
Exactly. I could post it to you. I got the Margaret Sanger with her accepting the award. I got the the information by Hillary Clinton saying our kid's gonna be microchipped. What happens when you microchip some? You can make that person die at any time. That means you have control over killing that person.
Yes, but guess what? Let's look at
then
things logically.
You're making excuses for it.
No.
I have to look out for my son's future.
No, but let me just say this. There's no such thing as making excuses for anybody.
Yeah, you are.
We are not. No.
Let him speak. Let him speak.
Yes,
Shakir.
Mr. Shakir. We're not microchipping anybody. That's not going to happen. What we do need to take a look at is where these individuals stand and what we think that they're going to be bringing to the table when they are elected.
Right, because that's the thing. Someone is going to win. So someone is definitely going to win, even if neither one of them is a very good choice for black people. One of them will be in the White
House. Hillary will win.
Well, no, see, I disagree. I see that Hillary Clinton is about the best choice that we can get, who is someone who I won't say identifies with people of color.
Win.
But certainly is a an advocate for us to some degree. And she's about the best we're going to get right about now.
If
I'm
Hillary
sorry.
Clinton died tomorrow, they still vote for us. And Donald Trump will lose. That's how the whole election is set up. Donald Trump is not going nowhere in heck. He's going to win. It's like... we put him in there, make her look better. Westcon was the better candidate. Bernie Sanders was the better candidate.
Well, no, it depends. See, the way that you're looking at it, first of all, there is no conspiracy with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump being on one side.
Yeah.
Trust me. That she looks... she's happy, I'm sure, that he's running because he is a gift to her. That is true, in my opinion as well. I think that you can't ask for a bigger gift than Donald Trump. She really doesn't have to say much. He really puts his own foot in his mouth. So she's thrilled. Hillary Clinton is a very smart strategist, and it doesn't take very much, and she's quite articulate. And so... no, she's going to be an outstanding president. She was a fantastic first lady, and she was a brilliant senator for us right here in New York. And that's where I am, so I know. And I'm very familiar and have followed all of these folks. And I continue to support them and will be making sure that Secretary Clinton wins.
Oh, she's going to win without a doubt.
I want to bring one of my other callers on. This is she's a business owner in the city of Atlanta.
Wow.
One second, guys. She's a business owner in the city of Atlanta because what I want to know too is there a difference when we're speaking about is there a difference when we're speaking from an employee point of view? Because, Carrie, I know your background is is media, you know. What's your background, Shakir?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a business owner. I cook and stuff.
Okay. So you're like a chef?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to bring Nicole on. She's calling from the 704, which is in Atlanta. You know, she's an Atlanta mm-hmm. business owner. So, Nicole, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, how are you? Can you just let people know where you're from, you know, what your background is as far as business, and whether you're going to kill the Hill or dump the Trump?
Me and my wife own a barbershop in Douglasville, Georgia, 2,400 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
We both are into hair. We love doing hair. But anyway, besides that, I say dump Trump.
Is there a reason why, or is it just media?
Trump,
like, are
Hillary
you?
Hillary is more political, and she's about her business. Trump is more. He needs psychological help. He's more of an actor. He doesn't have his stuff together. He's more so. Off the top of his head with whatever Hillary says, and he's just a crybaby.
So he's more like responding, in a sense, to what she's saying.
Exactly. And he can't, you know, let her finish what she has to say. He's just a big baby, a brat, a spoiled brat. He doesn't have it to me.
So would you say that he's a successful business owner, though? Because I'm just saying, because for some people, that is one thing that would make him a great president, because he's built his empire so well.
Oh, God.
He's built his empire. Like you said, his empire. No, just because he owns his empire, no, that does not make him a good president.
Okay. I think that one thing this presidential race has done is just expose how alive and well racism still is in America. Because we have a lot of people think racism doesn't exist anymore, but you know, just a lot of the Trump rallies where the fights are breaking out between people of different races, and some of the things that he said. I know he said that he thinks stop and frisk went really well, and, you know, different things like that. I wonder if he just doesn't care about, you know, because some people feel like, I'm going to focus on the people whose votes actually matter, the people who actually come out and vote. You know what I mean? So would you think that sometimes he just says some things because he's trying to cater to white America, because he feels like they're, you know, they're the ones who actually vote more than the black vote? You know what I mean? Like, their vote matters more than the black vote.
Not at all. What he – and Donald Trump isn't really catering to all white people. He's – catering to what they call his base. His base are those who are not college educated Caucasians. And so those are the ones that believe in the Second Amendment, and those are the ones who are thinking that the opponents are trying to take away their rights to have guns. And so he knows that these are not all that well-educated and have been kind of disenfranchised from the system. And so he's taking full advantage of that. Now, I think that Hillary made the great point. Why would you support someone who you have paid more taxes than a billionaire? You'd have to be a real, you know, missing a few marbles to be really supporting this man, and to the level that it seems that people are doing. I don't even want to say his name. Secretary Clinton's opponent is not going to do so great. And just so that you're aware, I used to be a fan of this person. I thought that they were nice and that they were very smart and a rich person and an entrepreneur and all of that. And when I first heard them talk about the negative people that they were talking about, Mexicans, and first talking about the birther, this whole birther movement mess, I said, oh, my gosh, I'm a true entrepreneur. You don't get any truer as an entrepreneur than I am. And when I heard all of this kind of rhetoric coming from Secretary Clinton's opponent, I knew that this was not possible. There was no way in the world this man could make $1 million on his own. No way. You cannot be that stupid and make $1 million. I'm telling you the truth. And I knew that he could not possibly be the entrepreneur that I thought he was. And very much the next day, within a few hours, they had reported that his father gave him $1 million or $14 million or whatever it has been to get his business started.
Right.
And
right.
Anybody, what it takes to be successful, of course you can be successful if you're ruthless. And of course you can be successful if you take advantage of others. You're not paying your taxes. You're ripping off people. You're having your stuff created overseas. I'd be a billionaire too. And especially if I'm starting with $1 million or $14 million, you know. So right. It's easy to get people to do business with you when you have that kind of capital.
Exactly.
He is not qualified to do anything, let alone – and his business is – he's filed for bankruptcy 3 or 4 times. He was in debt $900 million. So
Carrie,
when
you are,
say these
you
things,
are, I just want to say I love – your angle, because it's all facts. Shakir, I love your angle because it's all facts. Let me, I have another caller from South Carolina. Do you want to say whether you want to dump the Trump or kill the Hill?
I'm just going to say I'm going to dump the Trump. I feel like Hillary has more experience with this, being that Bill was already in the office. She knows basically the ins and outs of what to do, what to expect. Trump pretty much is just like, he just takes it as it goes, and he's just, I don't know, he's very arrogant and just, I don't know, so spur of the moment. Like, he doesn't have time to think about anything that he does or anything that he says, whether he's hurting, you know, people's feelings or whatever he wants to do. It's like he's doing what he wants to do and not what's best for the country, in my opinion.
And, because one thing about it is there's a lot of things that, you know, in business and entertainment, you know, there are a lot of things that people do on the front line, and there are a lot of things that they do behind closed doors that are totally contradictive. And so one thing about Trump that I do like is that he, and I don't even know if this is how he really feels, but if it is, he's not hiding how he feels to over anybody. And so, you know, that realness, I guess, to say that he has. It's kind of scary to think of him as the president, but it's also kind of cool to think of that, too, because at least we know where he's coming from, you know, as opposed to us thinking that one, you know, that the candidate is for us, and then secretly they're, like, calling us niggers or, you know what I'm saying, just doing, you know, whatever to kill the whole black race or anything like that. So does anybody have anything good to say about Trump? Because we could say, you know, 50,000 negative things about him. If we want to be fair, what would be something that we could say is a positive about him?
Well, let's stop,
got something
first
to say.
Of all, being
I got something. I have something. I have something to say. Can I say something?
Yes,
can I say
Karima.
Something, please? Please. This is what he did for everybody. And nobody realizes he actually showed the entire world what the Republican Party really stands for and how they truly feel. That's what he did. He did that so well that they don't know what to do now. And what
he didn't really show the whole Republican Party.
Let me finish.
Let's just call it the way it is. It's not the whole Republican Party.
In my past life, I was a Republican. Let me just put that out there. Let me put it that way. So what I'm going to say to you is there's the old regime of the Republican Party, and there's the new regime, but the main purpose of Trump's appearance is to show the world how the real party thinks. And I've been to their meetings. I'm telling you, I'm in Atlanta, and I know I've been to those meetings in Brookhaven, right, at the Hudson Grill with them in those private meetings. And I'm telling you, this is how they talk, and this is how they think.
Well,
and so the whole world now knows what their thinking is, and this is the old regime. They are scared. They're paranoid. They think that everybody that does not look like them has a negative agenda at all times. They
Well, this is not everybody. Let's not paint everybody in the Republican Party with a broad brush. I'm not talking about you individually. I mean, generally speaking. What we really have are the extremists, the fringe folks. This is not the core of the Republican traditional party. What you have are these Tea Party candidates. You have all of these fringe people, these Sarah, whatever, the Bachman lady, and all these. That's a long line of them, including the lady who was out there from, you know, who can see Russia type thing from her house. You know, that lady and all those folks, Sarah Palin, correct. So, yeah, there's a long list of these characters. But what it really comes down to is that they're trying to do away with political correctness. That's what Donald Trump is trying to do. And I did say his name in that case because I want it to be clear. It's usually for someone who is not all that intelligent, is not that bright, so they don't want to look at having to be correct and having to use their to think. You know, they he doesn't really want to do those things. He want to be able to call a black person the N-word that he encounters. He wants to be able to – that's what – I'm not making it up. This is what his actions and his words have pretty much supported. So it's very clear that
that they don't really represent the educated, you know, white.
Exactly. The thing is, Donald Trump, his biggest supporter is that of a Caucasian man. However, the educated Caucasian men were following him as opposed to Hillary more so. But that has shifted because when you know, smart is smart.
Right.
Smart is smart. And if you're really smart, you're not really a racist. If you're really smart.
Or you're not a racist, a public racist.
I don't even think you're a private one because if you are smart, you know you're too smart to be a racist because you already know that a person's color denotes nothing. So I'm talking about individuals who are brilliant. I'm not talking about someone who, you know, purports to be smart.
Right.
So if you are intelligent, you're not going to be running around saying white this and black that and this that and that.
Right. And that's one of the points that I was
because
making
you know
earlier
better.
Too, because it still breaks everybody back down to whether, you know, to your financial class, you know, or your intelligence level.
Absolutely.
Instead of white or black.
You just nailed it.
You know, yeah.
Exactly.
Because
that is absolutely correct.
Yeah, because poor whites and blacks live in the same neighborhood and their kids go to the same schools. And so, you know, so the financial class is really what determines it rather than color. But I think that,
exactly.
You know,
just
to keep people
ignorant.
So you
just hit it on the head. Is
right.
Greed has, I think this is where greed has superseded race. And, you know, and I have always told everyone that if you want to get rid of racism, you must first eradicate greed. When
right.
you do that, racism disappears. There will be no racism. You want fairness? That's how you get fairness. You're not going to get it otherwise.
Strong point. So,
I agree
with that. I definitely agree with that. But I just want to ask, as black people going forward, how do we get more involved in, or how do we get our agenda together first, and then how do we get our agenda on, you know what I mean, or more of an importance on what's going on in America?
Absolutely.
Because we are on the news day after day after day being killed, and like Shakir was making that point that, you know, Obama did not mention, you know, I mean, he did say something when Trayvon Martin was killed, and he did say something about Eric Garner, but those are the, you know, those are the stories that really made the most noise, in a sense. So what do we do to get our agenda, you know, where it needs to be so that we can get some change for us?
Exactly. Well, that's a very good point, Yanni, and if I may jump in, if you guys don't mind, I just want to say that this is something that I have personally advocated and have met with former mayors. You guys know I've been promoting Wayne Smith, who is a former mayor of Irvington, New Jersey, for 12 years, and he's been on our show, on the Hair Radio Morning Show, as well as I've interviewed Jesse Jackson and Trayvon Martin's attorney, Benjamin Crump, and all of these folks. And the one thing that we have to take a look at is starting in our own neighborhoods and our own community and figure out how we can become more civically involved. Now, that voting is a great start, but that's just the beginning. We need to also mobilize our citizens that are in our community.
When you say mobilize?
Absolutely. What do I mean? Mobilizing means kind of getting people to take action.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that our youth is trained and educated and taught. But more than that, we need to have some folks that look like us in these positions of power and leadership and creating the laws in our own community. Voting, going and seeing who is the district leaders and the community leaders and making sure that they reflect our needs. We cannot pretend that it's not necessary to vote in our local communities, because those are the ones that make the laws.
Right, and that's exactly what I'm getting at, is that, you know, the presidential election gets the most press, you know, but for us, we really need to focus on our aldermen and our councilmen
and
the
mayor.
Those
are the people who...
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So, because I'm not sure exactly how to do this. Are they, like, very accessible? If I wanted to start something and I wanted to get in touch with my local councilman, how easy is that
exactly
process?
It is very easy to do. I asked the same questions to the former mayor, and we are also good friends with the mayor outside of Cleveland. The first thing that you want to do is take Google. Very simple. Find out what district you're in. Find out who some of the district leaders are. Start going to the meetings voluntarily.
Right.
Right,
and
right.
Start getting – that's the easiest way to get involved. Let them know who you are. Write to them and tell them that you want to volunteer your time to help, get the people in your own street or in your own area up and making sure – I mean, they have all kind of programs that you can get involved with.
Right.
And this is so that they can get to know you and you can get to know them, and at the same time you're learning the process. See, we kind of, I was just as in the dark as everybody else.
I think that's one of the reasons why we're not represented, because we, it's like it's something as simple as a lot of black people don't want to call police. You know what I mean? Like if something's wrong, you don't even want to call a cop because of what's going on with black people with police. So I think a lot of times the reason why they don't reach out is maybe because of something like that, or just because they don't understand how important that it is. Because I know with us and in the community I grew up in Newark, you almost never hear of any meetings or anybody going to meetings. You hear about them going to vote. You know what I mean? But you never hear about them going to meetings. And, when it comes time to find out who the smaller politicians are that are going to be able to make decisions in the city, we almost never hear about them until you get to the ballot. I know a lot of times it's like, vote for these six people. And I'm like, wow, I never even heard of these other four people. You know what I mean? So
they're the ones who are making the laws that hire the sheriffs and hire the police folks that will be policing the community. And and so there would be more accountability if we held people more accountable. But we've got to first make ourselves accountable.
Right.
And
I think also it's just maybe for us, we need sort of like a handbook that lets parents know, because, it kind of goes back to home training. You know, if your father or your mom was into politics, then you kind of know the process. But if they weren't, you know what I mean? It's like it's something that needs to start at home also about, process, because it's just as important. You know, it's just as important as just living day to day. And it affects how we live and what's legal and what's not, and, just so much so that we really need to start instilling it in our children at a young age that this is a part of living in America. You know what I mean?
Or dying in America.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Definitely. Definitely. Shakir, are you there? Okay, he might have went out. It's 10 o'clock now, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in.
Great show.
It was
a
great show.
Awesome, wonderful.
Yes,
oh,
hour
and the
by.
Hair lady
okay.
down there, anytime you need any promotion, don't forget Hair Radio.
Awesome. Just let people know how to tune into Hair Radio, Carrie.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we'll be back on the 1st of November with an all-new Hair Radio morning show. And you can find us at hairradio.com, and that's spelled HairRadio.com. Just one R in the middle.
Awesome.
Hairradio.com.
And I'll be sharing that on my Facebook page, Yanni Thompson,
thank
on
you.
Facebook. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks to all my guests. And we're going to head out.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, wait. One more thing, guys. One more thing. Is Nicole still on?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, please let everyone know where they can come and get some fabulous haircuts, dreadlock styles. Let them know what you guys do, the name of the shop, and where it is.
And we're on, we're called You Got Next Barbershop. We're in Douglasville, Georgia, 2127 F Fairburn Road, Douglasville, Georgia, 30135. And we're also having a Halloween party extravaganza to have, you know, safe trick-or-treating for the kids and adults, and we're giving away TVs and other good prizes to the people that have the best costumes.
Wait, you're giving away some
adults.
TVs? Wait, let them know again. Where is it? I know they're like, wait, what was the address?
Like TVs. Okay. We're giving away TVs and other prizes. We're at 2127 F Douglasville, Georgia, Fairburn Road. My bad.
Awesome.
30135.
Awesome. Great job. And I'm going to go now, too. I'm working at Salon Ramsey Midtown in Atlanta. I specialize in dreadlocks. This is Yanni talking. I know most of you guys know what I do. But just in case you don't, I'm at Salon Ramsey in Midtown Atlanta. It's the same salon that has the new reality show Ink, Paper, Scissors. That comes on BET Tuesday nights at 10. Next week on our show, we're actually going to be talking about the black image as far as TV and media. So we may be talking about the show. So I want you guys to kind of tune in so you can know what's going on. We just want to talk about our image because, you know, especially with what's going on with the selection of presidential candidates and what's happening in America with black people. We definitely want to kind of address ourselves, you know, because we can't blame it on everybody else. We have to take account for what's going on, you know, with ourselves. So we'll be talking about that
exactly.
Next week also.
Right.
All right. Thank
Yanni,
you for having me.
I want to tell people that they can reach us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, You Got Next Barbershop.
Now, when you say You Got Next, is that Y-O-U? Is it you? How do you spell?
The letter U-G-O-T-N-E-X-T Barbershop.
Awesome.
You Got Next Barbershop.
Okay, guys, thank you for
tuning
in. Carrie, thank you for being my special guest.
You got it. You got
yes,
it. A lot of fun.
Guys.
We'll see you soon.
Awesome.
Rock your locks. Rock your locks. Rock your locks. Rock your locks. Baby girl, where your heart been? I see you looking cute while you had your locks in. Wanna roll with me, baby? Come see. Enjoy it like it's a breeze in palm trees. Wanna talk about it, baby? We can take it there. I love the way you smell and the way you wear your hair. We can go around the world, maybe everywhere. Shining brighter than a diamond, baby girl, you rare. Rock your locks. 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 your locks, locks, rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks. You beyond hot. I see you looking real good with your lock knots. You locked up like we about to skip bail. She rock a updo with a fishtail, dabbles and such. And it looks so good, she like, please don't touch. I love when you rock them curls. And this is for all my girls who rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks, rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks, rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks, rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks. You're more than my best friend. We can talk about anything to the end. Sometimes we don't know where to begin. Around the world, baby girl, like a whirlwind. Make her say wow, like we going downtown. After what she finna call, she said now, now. Like a superhero, I give her the pow, pow. And I'ma put it on my baby till we pass out. While I rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks. Rock your locks, rock, rock your locks, locks. Baby, you so high. Baby, you so high. Girl, you so high. Girl, you so high. Rock your locks. Rock, rock your locks, locks. Rock your locks. Rock, rock your locks, locks. Rock your locks. Rock, rock your locks, locks. Rock your locks. Rock, rock your locks, locks.
Are you thinking about getting your GED diploma? Well, here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a number of pep talks that can motivate you.
Sometimes things don't always turn out the way you want them to.
You know that feeling? People look at you and don't believe in you.
You want some gentle encouragement. Then you're on your way to your GED diploma and a better life.
But I know you're probably just a little bit nervous.
You can find it in yourself to take that first step.
You can improve your future.
You can do this. I know you can.
You need to start pushing yourself.
Now get your game face on and take the first step towards a better life.
Hurry up! Don't make me repeat myself.
Whatever level of motivation you need to get your GED diploma, we've got a pep talk that's right for you. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org for your pep talk and find free GED classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Poetic love. Poetic love. She asked me, how does poetry make you feel? I said, poetry is like a good lover, the kind that makes love to you from your head down to your feet, the kind that makes you think of them when they are nowhere to be found. Poetry is the kind of love that lifts you up when you're down. The kind of love that makes you smile and brings you peace. The kind we women talk about in our secret hiding places. The kind you record in your mind for years and years after it's gone. I guess it's like giving birth to an angel and always feeling it close to your heart. Even when you have to part ways, you still feel it running through you. That's what poetry is for me. Poetic love.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome sound sculptress Destiny.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I'm not unmindful some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside. let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
History. On this day, 12009, seen many roots grow tall like vines. For on this day, history has been made, for all pain and struggle should be buried in the grave. History, history is today, to have seen it in such a beautiful way. Millions of people stand around to hear a man with powerful word of sound. At the top of the land, to have a king, I pledge to say, I have a dream. History, history, a great inspiration that builds up the nation throughout generations. As a black man to stand proud and free, that steadily keeps building up his family tree. A black president, we ask, how could this be? It's the faith in God that dwells on thee. From a small place to a big valley, his shall come in such a great rally. From a small river to a big ocean, his shall flow with such a great motion. History, history is today, no matter circumstance or situation. History is here to stay, a bad man in a bad situation. Success is screened for our nation. Barack Obama, an achieving man, our 44th president, yes we can.
While you had your locks in, when the road moves, baby, come sweet. Enjoy it like it's a breeze and palm trees. Wanna talk about it, baby, we can take it there. I love the way you smell and the way you wear your hair. We can go around the world, maybe everywhere. Shining brighter than a diamond, baby, girl, you rare.
Rock your locks, rock your locks. Rock your locks, rock your locks. Rock your locks, rock your locks. Rock your locks, rock your locks.
You be on hot. I see you looking real good with your lock knots. You locked up like we about to skip bail. She rock her updo with a fishtail, barrels and such. And it looks so good, she like, please don't touch. I love when you rock them curls. And this is for all my girls.
Ooh, rock your locks.